In the book of Revelation, we'll look at chapter 1 as we begin this book, which is an apocalyptic book. It is God's very word, in case when I said apocryphal, that confused you. Revelation chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. And that's the whole of the first chapter. Beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And those are God's words. This book, as you know, as we can see here, is written by the Apostle John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John and the letters, the three letters of John. And it came to the church by him. We see in verses 1 and 2. You see at the very beginning, verse 3, the benediction or blessing that is pronounced upon all who pay heed to what is revealed in this book through verse 8. And we see it is to the seven churches, seven literal congregations that we'll see in the first three chapters named. They're named in this chapter, which communicates something to us about how to interpret the book, and we'll get more into that maybe next Lord's Day. The rest of the chapter is the beginning of the vision that John received from the Lord in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. And the vision describes Christ in the midst of the seven lampstands, and which we know at the end of the chapter are the seven churches that are described in verse 11. The appearance of Christ, described verses 14 and 15, but of course, that doesn't mean that we should try to image or make an idol or of Christ in action, so making something that would look like this as described, or in our mind even. And yet it communicates about Christ, His power. If you look at the description, His power, His righteousness, His holiness, His wisdom, and justice, and probably many more things. And it says He spoke out of His mouth, His word, and held the seven stars, which are His angels, we learn at the end of the chapter, of each of the seven churches. Angels, we know, maybe you don't know, but we should know. Angels are also translated as messengers. And so as these are seven stars of the seven churches, then we pretty much know that these are pastors, those who proclaim the word of those seven churches, who are upheld by Christ and proclaim His word to the nations. And then about the lampstands. So there's seven lampstands, those are the seven churches, and then you think of that as well as the seven stars, which we would say are messengers or pastors, those proclaiming the word. One commentator said, "The churches are not candles. Christ only is our light, and His gospel our lamp. But they receive their light," that's the churches, "they receive their light from Christ and the gospel and hold it forth to others." And so they are not the candle, they're not the flame, they are the lampstand that holds the flame. Yeah. And so we're holding forth Christ in the church. A few things as the church of Jesus Christ we all need to remember: that Christ has us. He protects us, He watches over us. As He says, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last." And if He's the first and the last, He has sovereign dominion over all. And as He is the risen Savior, He has the keys of Hades and of death. And so we trust Him as we proclaim the gospel and worship Him as the church. Revelation is a book that has imagery and references back to the prophets. And so if we were to really understand this book, we need to know the prophets of the Old Testament, because all of the imagery comes from there. And yet it speaks of the church and the victory of Christ Jesus and the church's victory in union with Christ over all enemies. And that's what generally this book is about. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise that You have already won the victory over death, over our enemies, even the world, the flesh, and the devil. You've won the victory over those who persecute Your church, as we will see many times described in this book. You are the God who brings about victory through the Lord Jesus Christ in His death on the cross, and then in His being raised up from the dead on the third day to give us life. He has defeated death there. He's defeated Satan there. And He will defeat all enemies now that He has ascended and now seated on the throne. As we see many times throughout the Scriptures, that we have then, if there is victory in Christ, then we as the church have victory in union with Christ. And so that victory is already secured, and we can draw comfort here concerning those things. We know, as is described in this book, and as described in other places, that the gospel will go forth to all nations, that You will conquer all, and that many will come to a love and communion, saving knowledge, however we describe it, that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They will come into the church and be part of the bride, and they will be persecuted. Even as we see, as we remember back in Romans 8, if we are in union with Christ, we will suffer together with Christ. Your church is persecuted throughout the world, even in China today, where things are getting so bad. Churches are being, not only the people are being taken out of the churches, but churches, the buildings, are being destroyed. And many of those Chinese Christians are beginning to flee that nation. And Father, we ask that you would uphold them and remind them of what we learn in this book, of the victory we have in Christ, and that to those who shed blood, that blood will be over their heads, and they will go down to judgment and be destroyed eternally. Father, we pray for those who are the persecutors, who are the wicked, who turn upon your people and abuse them, call them names, and persecute them in their bodies. Father, we ask that you would bring your judgments upon them at the right time. And yet, Father, as you've shown us mercy, we know that we are no different than they are without Christ. And so, Father, we ask of some, those all of your elect, you would show mercy. You would bring them to yourself. Father, we ask that you would be with the church in our nation. Our nation continues to turn from you. We've learned in the last couple weeks that the church needs to repent, the church needs to reform, not just our congregation, but throughout the nation. If we desire to see truly a nation reformed and changed for the better, for your glory. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring that about, not only in our denomination, in our presbytery that meets in a couple weeks, even as we prepare, we pray that you would give the elders wisdom, but move in the elders of our presbytery to turn to you, to rule according to your word alone, and not to the pleasure or wisdom of man. We pray the same for our denomination and all the presbyteries that are meeting in the past or coming weeks, that you would bring about the same changes and reform and repentance where it is needed. And then to all the churches throughout the nation, cause them to see how many of them have turned from even the gospel. They've turned from you. They are much like Israel when they worship the Baals, the gods of and sacrifice to those false gods. Father, turn them. Do not bring judgment upon us, but for the few righteous that remain, show mercy. And grant grace to your church. We pray also in a couple weeks that you would uphold Joe Allen, who will come and preach the word here before Presbytery as we swap pulpits, and we ask that you would grant him relaxation, an encouragement as he comes here and ministers, and you hopefully by our fellowship would encourage him and his family as they're going through some struggles in their congregation. With the loss of two elders and all their elders, essentially, and now the presbytery has two elders they've brought in, and know that's discouraging to him. We ask that you would encourage him in Christ. Our congregation would be encouraging to him and even help build him up so that he can go back and preach the word boldly and minister to his congregation and the people there. Pray the same for myself as I go there. Father, we ask that you would also bless our relationship here in Kansas City with the Shawnee Church and other KCR congregations. We ask that you would keep us together, and that you would bring us to unity in the truth by your grace. And Father, we ask that you would bless us even now as we continue worshiping you. We ask that you would help find John's wallet that he lost this week. That you, we know, of course, precious things in a wallet, license and credit cards, whatever. Father, we ask that you would bring that back with nothing lost. And we know, as though it is small in this world, that little wallet and all the things in all the universe, but you can bring it back. And you can return it to him just as he had dropped it. And maybe it's somewhere in his van, in his home. Father, please give him that wallet back. We also ask for the children. And many children in our congregation, not only amongst us, but the visitors who have come, we ask that you would turn our children to you. That they would love you and love Jesus Christ above all other things. And they would profess publicly Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it would be true, we pray, in their hearts. And we pray that for all of us here. As we continue in worship, now help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.